Namaskar. My name is Madhusudan.
So tell us, what got you involved with Ananda Marga and getting initiated?
Well, I was a senior in college, and I was going through a very confused part time in my life. And the day I was in real confusion, my roommate came to me and said, "Oh, there's a yoga meeting and there's a guru going to be there who can tell you, who can solve all your problems." I said, "Okay, why not?" If it had been any other day, it wouldn't have happened. So I went, and it was an Ananda Marga retreat in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA. And the first thing I saw when I walked in the room was a bunch of people doing kirtan with their hands in the air, singing Bhavanam Kevalam. And I said, "What is this?" But what got me hooked was I started talking to the Margis about philosophy. And we started talking, and I had some of my own ideas, and they were telling me about Baba's philosophy. And then one Margi came up to me and said, "You know, you don't have to read these books. You know everything already." I said, "Really?" And I had come up with a lot of ideas in my own mind that nobody else understood. And I couldn't understand why nobody would understand these ideas. Even in university, whether professors or whatever courses, nobody could understand the ideas about psychology, social theories. Nobody could understand. And then here I found a whole organization dedicated to all these ideas. I said, "Wow." So I waited, and then the guru showed up in a business suit carrying an attaché case. And I thought, "What is this?" It was a family acharya. His name was Acharya Raghoji. And finally, they coaxed me into getting initiated by the end of the retreat. And
what year is this?
That was April 1971. And that summer I went to my first sectorial retreat. It was the first ever sectorial retreat in New York sector, in Kansas. And Dada Jitishvananda was there. And he said, we were talking, and he said to me, "Oh, you should go to India for teacher training." I said, "What kind of teacher training?" He said, "Well, you can learn to be a teacher in Ananda Marga school." I said, "Okay." I was a bit directionless at that time. And I was, you know, the one thing I remember, I started doing, after I got initiated, I didn't go to Dharma Chakra, but I was doing meditation. And after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I think it was, I got a phone call from the unit secretary. He says, "Oh, we're celebrating Baba's birthday, and we want you to go with us." The person who was on the phone is now known as Dada Shambhu Shivananda. He was the unit secretary in Philadelphia. He was at the University of Pennsylvania studying for his PhD in economics. And we used to have Dharma Chakra. So I went there, and after that, I started going to Dharma Chakra, and it was held in his apartment. It was a small apartment. We had about 10, 15 people, and he would always sing Baba's, you know, songs, bhajans, and we had a nice time. Then I went to sectorial retreat. Dada Jitishvananda convinced me to go to India for teacher training in December. So I got everything ready, and it took me a while to get everything organized. And so I went on a plane in the first week of December 1971 to India, and we were a group of about 15 Margis going to India. And these Margis were basically the cream of the crop of Ananda Marga in the United States. Everyone on that plane except me was going for whole-timer training. I was the only one not going for whole-timer training. We got on the plane, and before we got on the plane, one of the people going with us came to us and said, oh, by the way, we need to tell you that there's been a problem in the organization. Baba's wife left, and there's a big split in the organization. And we're going, we never heard of this stuff. And this had happened just like 2 weeks before this. And not to mention the fact that in between the takeoff from New York and the landing in Delhi, a war started in India between India and Pakistan. That war started while we were in flight on the way to India. So we arrived in Delhi, and I should say, basically, as an advance, none of those people on that plane ever made it to whole-time retreat. Well, no. One of those people made it to whole-timer training, but the only person who actually became an acharya was me.
And that's another story.
And that's another story, which may come later. Because what happened was, during that time, there was a lot of, as we call them, defector workers, and they were milling around in Patna, which is where Baba was at the time. And these people who had come from the United States to go for old-timer training, they said, well, if we're going to dedicate our life to this organization, we need to find out everything. And so they went and talked with these people. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I have this experience. I can still picture it. Every one of these people, and you know, I always say every Margi has like a light bulb that shines, you know, there's something kind of glow that comes from every margi due to your sadhana. And every one of these people, after they went to talk to these defectors, when they came back, it was like somebody turned out the light. I mean, it was just, so they tried to get me, oh, you have to go talk to these people and find out all this stuff about Ananda Marga. I said, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. I've read Baba's books. I'm not, whatever anybody has to say about Baba can't change what's in what he's written. So the back up a few days, we arrived in India. We arrive in Patna, and we come to the very first thing, we end up at the central office. Every day at central office, Baba gives darshan in the evening. There's an open darshan in the evening, and in the afternoon he gives darshan in the Jagriti. So we show up at the office, and their margis are gathering outside. There's a place where the cars come in the front of the office, where they had an overhang there, and then underneath that there would be
sort of a drop-off.
Right, like a drop-off place. And there was a terrace there, and Baba would sit on the terrace. So the Margi would stand in the driveway, and so we were all out there, and we were all singing kirtan, and really nice kirtan. And the first time we heard this kind of thing in India, we're all waiting for Baba to come out. And then after a while doing kirtan, Baba comes out and sits on the chair. And then we do kirtan. Then after a while, these boys come out dressed in this t-shirts and short lungi, green t-shirt and purple lungi. And the next thing you know, there's these carrying these sticks, and they light them, and there's these like torches burning. And next thing you know, they're carrying skulls and daggers. And the next thing you know, they're dancing tandava, ta, ta, din, ta, ta, in front of Baba. And it was an amazing first, and we'd never heard of tandava. Baba had just given tandava just like the week before. It was like a brand new thing. And we had never seen or heard of tandava. And next thing we see, there's these boys dancing, ta, ta, din, ta, carrying blazing torch and skull. And if you look at Baba, while there are 10 tandavas going on, and Baba's very serious, sort of keeps his head up, you know, like this. And Baba's wearing glasses. and the torches lights reflecting in Baba's glasses. And then after the tandava's over, then Baba starts smiling and doing namaskar to people, and then he may say sometimes he said something, sometimes he didn't say anything. It was just, he would listen to the kirtan, he would do namaskar to people. And when Baba does namaskar to people, there's energy in the room that you can't believe. So the other thing that Baba had given just before we arrived in India was 16 points. We never heard of 16 points. And so it came time to get PC with Baba. And Baba said to the, he told the office secretary, who was Dada Pranavananda at the time, he said to Pranavananda, he said, they should all follow 16 points and you should, they should pass a test before they can get PC. So we had to memorize Jama Niyama, 16 points, Supreme Command, and 15 Shilas, none of which we knew at the time. I mean, we knew a little bit about Supreme Command, we didn't know, and we knew Jama Niyama, we didn't know 16 points and 15 Shilas. So we had to memorize all of that and get tested. That would give us a quiz of which, what is this, what is that, you know? And all was that done in a matter of a day or two. Very clash, a big clash. but we all passed the test, got our lessons revised, and we got to see Baba. So we're all lined up outside. See, when there's a Jagriti, and Baba gives darshan in the Jagriti, but there's a room on the side of the darshan room where Baba gives PC. And there's a door that goes into that separate from the Jagriti door. So we're all lined up outside the room for PC room, and Baba's in there. We're waiting for Baba to call us in for PC. And it was a Kadashi. And Baba said, oh, let them finish their fasting. We'll do PC tomorrow. Canceled. Next day we come back, and then we all got PC. I'll relate a little bit about my PC. So, first you enter the room, and Baba's sitting on a cot, like a wooden, you know, an Indian bed, just a wooden frame. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there on this bed. And as we're instructed, you walk up towards Baba and do Shashtang Pranam in front of Baba. And then Baba says, get up, get up. And then Baba says, like if Baba's sitting here, then Baba says, please sit down. You sit down on the floor right in front of Baba. So Baba's on the cot and you're sitting on the floor sort of looking up at Baba. And Baba says, little boy, what is your name? Then he said, I can't remember all the things. I'll remember the most important ones. It wasn't very long. It wasn't very long. Baba said, and who is your father? I thought, why is Baba asking me who's my father? What has that got to do? And then I answered, Baba, you're my father. And I realized, this is not a conversation between me and Baba. Baba is running both sides of this conversation. I don't know how it happened. Whatever I said, it somehow came from Baba. So Baba said, yes, and you are my son. And then Baba takes his hand and rubs on my cheek like this and like this. So loving, really. And Baba said, what do you want to do in this life? I said, Baba, I want to do service. I want to help people. And Baba said, do you have the moral courage to do this? I said, yes, Baba. Then Baba said some things I don't remember, and that was then. But for 50 years, I've been trying to figure out what that meant, moral courage. And I realized it recently that when you try to do good things, it's not everybody doesn't receive you with open arms. You try to do something good and there will be opposition. And you have to have moral courage even to do the right thing. But it took me a very long time. I couldn't understand at all why Baba said that. It was the biggest question in my life for many, many years. And then after that, we had darshan. And Baba knew that we had seen the Tandava. So Baba actually explained the Tandava himself to us. How to do Tandava. And then Baba would point to, you know, lift up his foot. And he would point to the toe, and this is for Ta, and this is for Deen. And he explained the symbolism. Really quite amazing. Baba took such care that we knew all these things. Then the next thing happened was Baba did group contact with the brothers for 16 points. So we would come into Baba's office in groups of 10, and I was in one group of 10, and Baba would be, this was done in Baba's office, in the central office. And Baba was sitting behind a desk, and we're all standing up like in a row in front of Baba's desk. And one by one, Baba would ask us each point, are you following, like, use of order? Are you following? Are you following? Are you following? He goes, yes, Baba, I'm following. Yes, Baba, I'm following. So the second point came, joint here. Are you following? Yes, I'm following. Yes, I'm following. Yes, I'm following. Then one brother, Baba, said, I think you're not following this point. After the brother said, yes, I'm doing, then Baba said, I think you're not following this point. He says, no, I'm sorry, Baba, no. Wow. Then then it came to Dharma Chakra, and one American Margi was there, and he said, Baba, there's no Dharma Chakra where I live. And Baba got angry. Baba said, I didn't ask you if there's any Dharma Chakra where you live. I asked you if you attend Dharma Chakra. And then he said, no, Baba, I'm not attending Dharma Chakra. And then Baba said, if there's no Dharma Chakra where you live, start one. So in that way, Baba went through each of the 16 points to check to see if we were following. And then each one of us had to perform one asana in front of Baba. So I did the spinal twist. And in the US at the time, they were teaching spinal twist, and you would put your hand around, and were teaching us to keep our palm out. I did like that. And then Baba said, no, palm should be in. So when I went back to America, I had to correct everybody. I said, well, Baba said your palm should be in and not out when you're doing asanas. The beginning of kirtan, Baba would always call on somebody in the audience by name to start the kirtan and lead the kirtan. And in India, you know, the Indian style was call and response. So the person who was leading the kirtan would sing and the other person, then everybody would follow. So this time, he called on one American, and he was also from Philadelphia, as I was. And this brother had, I try to say it nicely, he had like one of the worst voices in the world. I mean, even when he talked, it sounded like he was hoarse. But he was really devotee, he really loved Baba. And Baba called on him, his name was Angira. He said, Angira, please stand up. Can you lead the kirtan? Baba called him directly. And then Angira started to sing. And some of us were like cringing because of the sound of his voice. And I looked at Baba, and Baba was really enjoying. Like Baba had a smile, and he was like, looked like he was in bliss. And I thought, this is really something. This really shows that the devotion, the feeling behind the kirtan is more important than the sound. And Baba was hearing that brother's devotion much more than the whatever was problem with his voice. And so after the kirtan, then Baba started calling people in the audience. And he would call them by name, you know. You know, I don't remember the names of the people who were there. We do call by name, so-and-so, stand up. They would stand up. Baba said, what do you like? You would like, do you think, would you like occult powers or Parama Purusha? They said, Baba, I want Parama Purusha. And Baba said, sit down. Next person. And I was sitting in the audience and I could feel Baba was just shooting energy all over the room. It's like calling people, and I was actually a little scared if Baba would call on me, which he didn't. But he kept calling on the Margis, and most of these Margis were the Americans, those of us, the group that I was with that had just come to India. And one by one, they would stand up. Did you want occult powers or Parama Purusha? No, I want Parama Purusha. And Baba would say, sit down, sit down. Then finally, Baba calls on this Indian Margi, and I was sitting right next to him. I was like, he was sitting on my right side, immediately next to me. And then Baba called on him to stand up. He stood up. Baba said, do you want occult powers or Parama Purusha? He said, Parama Purusha, Baba. Now this brother was well known for Baba having performed many demonstrations on in the prior year. So we knew something was going to happen. Then Baba said, I want you to meditate on occult powers. So this brother is standing, closes his eyes, looks like he's meditating for a few minutes. Then Baba said, do you feel anything? And Baba said, and then the brother, he says, no, I didn't feel anything. And Baba said, okay, now I want you to meditate on Parama Purusha. So same thing, he's standing straight, closes his eyes, starts meditating. And after a few seconds, his arms start raising up like this, raising up, 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 like this. And he's trying to meditate. And then his back arches so much, he ends up falling back into the arm, into the laps of the people sitting behind him. Because, you know, in darshan, it's like elbow to elbow, kneecap to kneecap, and sitting on the floor. So there's no floor to sit, fall on. So he fell onto the margis right behind him. He's in samadhi. And the first time any of us had ever seen anybody go into samadhi, that Baba put him into samadhi. And we're all worried, what happened? Oh, what happened to this brother? What to do? Then Baba said, leave that fool alone. So we learned something a little bit from that. There was another darshan.
Why do you think he called him a fool?
Well, because he was known for being interested in occult powers. For example, we would be sitting in the Jagriti doing evening meditation in a group. He would come in the room and he would start doing some, making some noises or some mantras or whatever. And few people would start falling over in samadhi. I asked him about this once. I said, how do you feel that Baba did all these demonstrations on you? And he says, Baba put me in those places that you normally have to achieve by yourself. And he said his whole effort in sadhana is to try to achieve that, to try to find that. But he developed a lot of occult powers due to all those demonstrations. And Baba was saying, no, don't run after occult powers. You have to run after Parama Purusha.
Supreme consciousness.
Everything happens for a reason. Then there was another darshan that happened. It was like a week before Baba was arrested in last week of, end of December 1971. It was a week before, might have been the last general darshan on Sunday. And then the darshans he was having in the afternoon, because a lot of us were Americans there, Baba was giving in English. But this Sunday darshan, Baba always gave in Hindi or Bengali, because, no, it's in Patna, so Baba was talking in Bengali for the local people who came for general darshan. But we got a translation of it, and the translation was that Baba talked about the Ramayana. And Baba said that the Ramayana is not is not real history. It's fiction. But even though it's fiction, it has value and there's lessons to be learned from it. And Baba explained there are different types of histories. And this is one that may not necessarily be an accurate as it is known, but there's many lessons to be learned and good things in the Ramayana. So then Baba started talking about the story of Rama and Ravana. And Baba explained that Ravana was at one time a devotee of one guru. And the guru said, you have a choice in your life. You can come back as many lifetimes as there are leaves on the tree, and as the greatest devotee of the Lord, and then be liberated. Or you can come back only 5 lifetimes as the greatest enemy of the Lord, and then you'll get liberation. And he said, no, I want to get liberated in 5 times. I don't want to wait as many lifetimes as there are leaves on the tree. So he said, okay, you will come back. And the story is that each of his incarnations, he was the greatest enemy. And the last incarnation, he was Ravana. And so when in the story, Rama has a big fight with Ravana, and Ravana is going to kill Ravana at the end, because Ravana is the greatest enemy of the Lord, and Rama's duty bound to kill Ravana. And Rama says, I'm going to kill you, not because I hate you or I have revenge or anything. It's because it's my duty. It's my duty to kill you. But before you die, I want to get some good advice from you. Please give me some good words. So the story is that Ravana said, if there's anything good you want to do, you should do it immediately. And if there's anything bad you want to do, you should put it off till tomorrow. And then Baba added, if you ever want to do something good, you don't need to ask permission from anybody. And that was important, because a week later, Baba was arrested and went into jail for 7 years. And so we needed a little bit of guidance from Baba. And Baba was preparing us for that time. I would have been there at the time of Baba's arrest, but the DPS, the Dharma Prachar Secretary, sent me to Benares. Baba had never been to Benares, and he was supposed to go for DMC in Benares for New Year's. So we all got on the plane, or no, we got on the train and went to Benares. We waited at the airport for Baba to come, and Baba didn't come. And a small plane came in, and Dadas got out and started shouting and screaming, and I said, what happened? They said, oh, Baba's just been arrested. And that was another story. So we started a Akhanda Kirtan in the Jagriti in Patna, because we thought they tried many things to get Baba out of jail. Lawyers couldn't get Baba out of jail. Nobody could get Baba out of jail. So we thought, well, Baba can get out of jail if he wants to get out of jail. Let's do Kirtan and bring Baba out of jail. So we started Kirtan, and that Akhanda Kirtan went on without stop for 3 weeks. At the end of the 3 weeks, Baba made a request to the judge that he has having some eye trouble and needs to be treated in the hospital in Patna. The judge granted Baba's request, and Baba was brought to Patna to the hospital, and we all went to the hospital to see Baba. Now, we weren't allowed to go and visit Baba, but there was a balcony outside of Baba's room in the hospital. And we were allowed to stay in the courtyard down below. Like, Baba's on the second or third floor. And so they would have Baba sit in a chair in the balcony where we could see Baba from down below. And so it worked. We had 3 weeks of kirtan, and Baba came to see us.
The power of kirtan.
Yes, power of kirtan. And then I went back to America after that. After I went to Anandanagar, and I have another experience, but it was somehow, I believe that Baba sent me to see this other guru, because I got some attention from this guru that I never got from Baba. He's well known in India. He passed away some years ago. His name was Neem Karoli Baba. And the person who was with him was Baba Ramdas, who is also well known. I had read his book. Actually, one of the things that inspired me to come to Ananda Marga. And so I met Ramdas in the ashram where Neem Karoli Baba was. And what I realized, Ramdas said to me, he said, he has a meditation for every day of the week. I thought, here's somebody who's confused. How can you follow a spiritual practice when you're doing something different all the time? But Ramdas did good things. He led a lot of people towards spirituality. But one acharya I met in Allahabad came to me, and he spent a day with me, with Neem Karoli Baba and Ramdas. And at the end of the day, I asked this acharya, I said, well, what's the difference between this group and Ananda Marga? And he said, there's no proud. I said, I have to go back. So I got on the next train, went back to Patna. Oh, proud brought me back. So I went back to America, and I thought, you know, everybody was trying to get me to go for old-timer training. I said, how can I go for old-timer training? I have so many samskaras. I have so many things I have in my life I couldn't get rid of. I couldn't become a old-timer. And as soon as I got back in America, one by one, all those things just like went away. And so it was about a year and a half later, I went to India for old-timer training. Baba was in jail. I went through 2 months of training. And after 2 months of training, my visa was going to run out. So they got me an exam, and I was able to pass the exam. And they said, you have to go to Nepal to finish your training. So one brother and I, we went to Nepal. But before we got to Nepal, we got stopped on the border in Ruxol. And somehow the border guard saw all of our Ananda Marga books in our bag. The next thing we knew, we were being ushered into jail. And I ended up spending 3 months in jail in Motihari. The first day we were in the jail, as I was told, we were put in the same cell that Mahatma Gandhi had been in Motihari jail. But that's only a side thing. That's not as important as Dada Sarvatmananda also being in the jail. And so Dada Sarvatmananda spent, on Baba's instructions, Dada Sarvatmananda gave us acharya training in the jail. And I was told that was the first time Baba had ever approved anything like that. There's a Baba story here. The next day after we were arrested, all the newspapers in India printed a story that two Americans who were Ananda Margis were acting as agents of the CIA and were working in the border regions to disrupt the military in India on the border with Nepal, which was a bunch of nonsense. But that's what they printed. And so somehow Dada Keshavananda was in the jail with Baba at that time. Baba wasn't on... Was Baba fasting yet? I think he was still on fast. But anyway, there was more people. Dada Keshavananda was in the jail and reading the newspaper to Baba. And then Keshavananda came across that article and read it to Baba. And then Baba said, there's an old Bengali proverb. When two cats are fighting with each other and one cat can't do anything to the other cat, that cat will go and start clawing at anything, clawing at the walls, the floor, anything it can do, because it can't do anything. He said, this is what the Indian government is doing right now. And Baba sent Keshavananda to the jail to see me, to tell me this story. So he came and they didn't allow him in the jail. He was like outside the gate, but they let me come to the gate and he would talk to me and explain how Baba read the article and sent him to see how we were doing and to tell us the story of what Baba just had said. It was so inspiring. You know, and Baba's in jail like this, and Just so amazing. I didn't see Baba again until 1979. I went to India. And the remarkable thing I can explain was, there are two remarkable things happened during that time. I was posted in Guam region, which is, I was in Guam, which is the, in Micronesia, Western Pacific. And, well, there's a story about Guam. I was in Guam when Baba went to China. And I was supposed to go see Baba in Taiwan. And I kept doing meditation every day, saying, Baba, I want to come see you, but I can't see you. You know, I couldn't do anything. And I said, I kept in my sadhana, I kept thinking, Baba, I can't come to see you. You have to come see me. So a month after that, Baba left Taiwan. I got a letter from one of the acharyas in Taiwan saying, oh, we forgot to tell you that Baba was coming. But by the way, Baba had indicated while he was in Taiwan that he, after he was denied visa to go to Australia, he wanted all the workers of Suva sector to come to Guam and meet him before he went to America. And right then I thought, wow, Baba heard my... Now, Baba didn't get his visa for America, so he couldn't come to Guam. But had Baba gotten a visa for America, he would have come to Guam first to meet all the workers from Suva sector. I thought, Baba's just thinking about me.
Of course.
But later that year, I was able to go to India and see Baba again. So the first thing that happened was I went on field walk with Baba, and this is important. It was a very nasty day in Calcutta. The air was really bad. I mean, the pollution was so bad, there were clouds of pollution, air smog, just floating around. And we were walking through the park. And we're walking through the park, and Baba stops. And he puts up his finger. And he goes, he says, smog. Smoke plus fog equals smog. And then Baba started talking about, and I can't remember all the details, because Baba went on and on about how the air is polluted and the water is polluted, how industry has polluted the whole world. And Baba would name different rivers of the world and seas, the Mediterranean Sea, and so many different rivers, some I couldn't keep up with. And as Baba talked about all the different parts of the world that were polluted, he got more angry and started really... You could see Baba was getting upset with all of this. And Baba paused for a moment in the middle of this. I can't call it anything less than a tirade against the damage that basically the Vaishyas have done to the environment. Baba was really upset. And Baba paused for a moment. And I did something I was told not to do. When you're on field walk, you're told not to ask Baba questions. He's only to ask you questions. So I said, Baba, how do we stop the pollution? Baba waited for a moment and then said, the entire socioeconomic structure has to be changed. And then Baba, we went on. So we got back to Baba's house. And I asked the Dadas, I said, what does Baba mean, the entire socioeconomic structure has to be changed? That's big words. They said, oh, that means prout. And that changed my whole perspective on prout, even to this day. Understanding that there are some things, as I say, Baba didn't give prout to fix capitalism. Baba gave prout as a whole new system, and we can't put Band-Aids on the old system and make it work. As Baba said, the entire socioeconomic structure wants to be changed if we want to solve these problems. I mean, we can make some small changes that can improve people's life a little bit. But if you want really substantial change, if you really want to fix things, that's when you have to change the entire system. That was the one thing I learned during that trip. The second thing I learned was... during reporting, and I have to edit this a little bit because it was in reporting and we can't talk about who was who and what was what. But there was one Dada that was brought into, who I knew very well, who was brought in to see Baba. And apparently he had done something very serious, very serious. And I didn't know what it was. I never heard. I didn't know what was going on. And Baba said to him, you know, you're not allowed, now I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to paraphrase for a little bit. Baba said, you're not allowed to give a new philosophy in my name. He said, you've been giving a different philosophy and you're using my name, saying, Baba said this. He says, don't say Baba said. And this is that Baba said. Baba said like it. And now I'm using it. I'm saying Baba said. But Baba himself said, don't say Baba said. It's not a justification. And then Baba told the story about Muhammad. Baba said that when Muhammad gave his teachings, he made one mistake. And had he not made that mistake, the whole dogma of Islam would have not been there. And the one mistake was, he didn't say, Muhammad said this. He said, God said this. Had he said, Muhammad said this, this is my idea, this is my saying, Islam would still be there, but the dogma would be not there. Only from that. And then Baba said, you can say, you can give any philosophy you want. You can say anything you want, but you have to take credit for it. You have to say, I said this. Don't say Baba said. I think Baba wanted even, that's, I think Baba was teaching us there that even if we give Baba's philosophy and the only justification for that philosophy is Baba said, that's dogma, that creates dogma. We can create dogma out of Baba's own philosophy if we don't explain what it is, why it is like that. And
why you support it.
Yeah, why, and there's, you know, my understanding is that Baba once said that everything that is true is rational, but everything that is rational isn't always true. So rationality isn't necessarily a proof of something's truth, but if something is true, you can prove it using rationality. And all of Baba's philosophy, as I've understood, has very rational, fundamental, explanations. Sometimes we don't know what it is, and we have to spend a lot of sadhana to figure that out. So that was a brief trip to India. Then, after I got posted in the Manila sector, I came back for reporting many times. I got to see Baba many times during 1980 and 1986, and. You get to see, in reporting, you get to see, and I can't give a lot of details, but a lot of it is really Baba's, how can I say, ego bashing. You know, somebody once told me that Baba did the impossible. He created an organization of sannyasis. How is it impossible to create an organization of sannyasis? Because when you create an organization, you have to have some control over the people in that organization. And there's various ways you control people in an organization based on pay or promotions or various
incentives.
But sannyasis, by definition, have nothing to lose. They've given up their whole, they've surrendered everything already. What can you take away from them? So how do you discipline? How do you maintain? And Baba did that personally. Sometimes he could be very tough and scary. One time, the punishments got so severe. I was there at one time. The punishment was so severe, I didn't want to see Baba. For 2 years, I didn't go back. And I, being in Manila sector very close, I could come any time. I didn't want to go back for 2 years. But one thing I remember, one Dada came and Baba said, you were bringing wine on the airplane from one place to another place in order to sell it to make money. He said, that's not right. And then Baba explained, there are three kinds of wrong things that you can do. One is a mistake, one is a crime, and one is a sin. What is a mistake? A mistake is something that you do wrong, unknowingly. You didn't know you were doing something wrong. It just happened like by accident. You did something wrong. You can correct a mistake by rectifying the mistake and taking self-punishment. The second is a crime. A crime is something that you do that goes against society. And when there's a crime, only society can forgive and give punishment. And then there's a sin. A sin is something that you do against Parama Purusha or Guru. And if you commit a sin, only Guru, only Parama Purusha can rectify, can forgive. And then Baba said, this Dada committed a crime. And then he said, okay, I want all, and all the SSs of all the sectors were in the room. He says, I want all the SSs to stand together. Well, all the SSs. Okay, you are the society. You decide on punishment and rectification of this Dada. And so they got together and they made a decision, and Baba accepted their decision. So in this way, in reporting, Baba was teaching us many things about how to run the society, how to operate among ourselves. So many things Baba would do. And sometimes Baba was very tough, and sometimes Baba was very loving. We got to see all Baba's faces like that. And then the thing happened in 1986. In 1986, I got Diksha, Avadhuta Diksha. The one thing I'll say about that is that after getting Avadhuta Diksha and getting our Avadhuta uniform, there's a reception. That is, we receive Baba outside of his house. So outside of Baba's house, we're all standing up in a row, and Baba comes and greets each one of us personally. And Baba will go to each one of us that were in that group that got Diksha. And Baba would say, because we had just gotten our Avadhuta name, Baba would say, what is your name? What is your, each person. And then he would say something to each person. And Baba came to me and said, what is your name? So I told Baba my name. And Baba said, Baba! Because that was my saying. Whenever I said was amazed at something, that was my saying. I would always say, Baba, Baba. And Baba did that to me.
Mocking
me. No, I don't know. I didn't feel it like that. I didn't feel it like mocking. Okay. I felt it was like, it was a recognition that I know you. But unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately. Everything, Baba controls everything. So 6 months after that, something happened in my life, and I realized that I had to leave my acharyaship and leave my avanutaship and go back to family life. So I left a note for the SS. I left everything for the SS, and I went back to the U.S., I was in the U.S. for about a day. I got a phone call from the office secretary in Manila sector. And the office secretary called and says, we got your letter, but you can't do this. I said, what do you mean I can't do this? He said, you have to ask permission first. I said, well, how do I do that? He said, well, you have to go back to India and you have to ask permission from Baba. I said, okay. So I got a ticket and went back to India. I didn't know any better. Apparently, it had never been done before. So I went to India. I got there. And because I had been a worker for 12 years, I knew all the central Dadas. They all knew me very well, personally. And Dada Sarvatmananda was the GS. Dada Sarvatmananda and I had spent 4 months in the jail in Motihari. And he also was a Prout worker before he became GS. So we had a long history together. But he was a GS, and I had to go to him and explain why I wanted to leave and all of this. I had to explain the whole thing. I said, I came here to get permission from Baba. He said, okay. So he and all these Dadas that I knew very well for the next 7 days came to me one by one trying to talk me out of it. I said, no, Baba wants this. I was convinced in my heart that Baba wanted me to do this. I said, you have to go ask Baba's permission because he will give me permission. So finally, after 7 days, nobody's going to Baba and nobody's doing anything. And these Dadas are looking at me like I was a dead person. I mean, just imagine if your best friend died and how you would look if you're looking at that person. That's the way they were looking at me. And so finally I said, well, I have a plane ticket. I'm leaving in the morning at 8 o'clock. If you can get it, Baba's permission by then, fine. If not, I have to go. So 6 o'clock in the morning, Dada Sarvatmananda and Keshavananda, I think Ramananda was there, all went to Baba and said, this Dada, he's there and he's ready, he wants to leave, he wants permission. The first thing Baba said was, I wasn't there, so I'm relating what they told me. The first thing Baba said was, why are you bringing me this bad news first thing in the morning? Wait a minute, wait a little bit. So they waited about a half hour, they went back to Baba. The reason they went to Baba is because the punishment they would get for a worker leaving and having left already is greater than the punishment they would get if I was there. Plus, they realized if I had left, there was no hope. If they were thinking, well, Baba would tell me to go back for training and I would listen to Baba and give up my plan and go back for training. And that didn't happen. Baba said, this is the proper way. If any worker wants to leave, they have to come and ask my permission. And then Baba said, while remaining with the family, he should do something concrete for the human society, such as Jagriti or medical. So not only did Baba give permission, Baba gave me duty. So when these Dadas came back, they're all looking at me as if I was a dead person, just came back to life. I mean, can you imagine?
Resurrection.
Yeah, that's exactly, you could see their faces. Everybody was so happy. And you see, the story was, procedure is that whenever any whole-timer leaves their position, leaves the organization, there's big punishment. Every one of their supervisors from SS and the GS and all the way down the line, whoever is responsible for that person, gets big punishment. My understanding was that after I left, nobody got punishment. And the only thing is they asked Baba, what's his status? So Baba said, as usual. Status means that when a worker leaves the organization, they're disqualified. They're not allowed to hold any organizational position. So fortunately, 10 years later, I was fortunate enough to go back to Calcutta and meet with the workers and put in an application for requalification. And with Baba's grace, literally, and a lot of organizational turmoil, I can say.
Drama.
Drama, very much drama. I had an application. I had to run around and get it signed by all the heads of the organization. And just like workers do when they have to leave central office, they have to get their tour program signed. It was just, I said, you're getting me to have my tour program signed. So I'll tell you one story. I met with Dada Haratmananda, who was the DPS, I think, at the time, former SS New York. So he knew me. And he said, why do you need this requalification? You can work for Ananda Marga. You don't need to have posts. You don't need to have a position. You can do work for Baba. You don't need any of that. Why do you need this? I said, I don't need it. You need it. He said, why do I need it? I said, because if I'm going to do all this work that you think I'm going to do, then I'm going to do it without any supervision, any kind of accountability, any structural role. That weakens the structure. So you need it. In order to allow for whatever I'm going to do for Baba in the future to work to benefit and strengthen our organization, I need to do it within the organizational structure. He had no answer for that. Signed my paper. Then I got to see Proto Pramukh and I got requalified.
What year was that?
That was 96. That was engineered, literally engineered by Dada Abhidevananda. It was for Baba's 75th birthday. So they said, well, he wanted to get an amnesty and they wouldn't do that. So they said, well, let's create some opportunities for some workers to get requalified. And me and another worker from, former worker from Norway, I think it was, were the only ones who got through. And there was so much controversy in Calcutta, they literally shut the door after that and nobody else got through.
So what are you doing now?
Right now, I'm working in the organization. I'm the acting chief secretary for Proudest Universal for New York sector. I'm the editor of proudnow.com, which is a website. I manage all the websites for Proudest Universal that are basically proudestuniversal.org, proud.org. And I'm sort of embarrassed to say it because some of those websites need a lot of work, but I've been managing a lot of our digital activities. I'm the president of Proudest Universal in the United States and the chair of the Proudest Universal ACB in New York sector. Some of that is because we have no Prout worker posted in New York sector right now. So the whole burden, our current SS, who's now GS, Dada Abhiramananda, has basically put the whole burden of Prout on my shoulders. But whatever Baba gives, you have to do.